Turn with me, please, tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read the whole of this chapter and a few verses into chapter 12. It's interesting when you read, especially in the Old Testament, how so often the people of Israel were gathered together and they stood while for hours while the Word of God was read. Well, tonight we're sitting in comfort, we're sitting down, so forgive me because it is a long passage, but you'll understand why. So, Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves on the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And amen to that. Perhaps you could say that the theme for tonight is simply what we find in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And if you took that passage that we read there, you could relate it right in to the present day and the situations that we see that Christians face, not only in our country, but throughout the world. Well, here we are. We have come into God's house tonight. And I wonder what each one of you might think of the day that you've just had. Perhaps some of you say, well, I've had a good day. Perhaps some of you have had a very busy day. Perhaps some have faced difficulty and hardship. Perhaps they're challenging. Perhaps there's been some sadness, or some folks, even in churches, find they're lonely. But we might face uncertainties, problems, or solutions that we need for problems that just don't seem to go away. And if, like many of the Old Testament people, if I was to ask you personally to write down what sort of day and what you've had to face, we would all have a different experience. Or even, as I've said, as we look out inside, out into the world and look at what's happening around us. Well, look at the situation in the United Kingdom, for instance. And then you look further afield around the world and you might say to yourself, well, as Christians, what hope do we have? What is our future? We see only our own societies beginning to sink. We see things changing. And most of us here are indeed seeing tremendous change from the years that we have spent living when there were standards and values throughout this land. And of course we could add on to this all technology and change that's coming, and technology seems to have taken over in many, many ways. And people think, well, look what we've achieved. Look what we've got now. All sufficient. Who needs God? Look at me. And have you noticed that? It's all about me. You don't hear politicians standing up in government and saying, we, the government, will do it. It's individual. It's, I am going to do this. I am going to introduce this. I'm going to change this. It's all about me. For so as Christians, here we are. Perhaps you're like me and you sometimes wonder, why doesn't God deal with these things? When we read into the Old Testament, we read in Scripture how God has intervened when nations have gone astray, and we wonder why God today doesn't do anything more. Then I would ask you the question, this question, why have we come here tonight? Why do we come into God's house? Well, it's simply this, isn't it? We've come to seek God's presence. We've come to renew our spirits, haven't we? We've come for that uplift. We've come that God might give us that encouragement. At one point, I was going to speak on Psalm 73, because I think that's a very relevant psalm, isn't it? Asaph. Asaph was this man who was appointed by David, wasn't he, to look after the music, etc., within the temple, and to encourage people to lift up their voices and to praise God. And he tells us that when Solomon took over, he continued to do so. And of course, he wrote Psalm 50 and Psalm 83 as well. And why do I mention Asaph? Because he was a man who was working in the temple. He saw what was going on. He saw the impact it was having on the people. He saw how it was changing people's attitude, because we know in the Old Testament how the Jews were so often distracted into the world. They were easily led astray. And he turns and he says in that psalm, my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the arrogance of the wicked. He saw what was going on in the world. And he even said, I looked at myself, he's using these words, he said things like, I thought everything I'd done was a waste of time. I felt hopeless until I went into the house of the Lord, and then I understood their end. And is that not the reason why we love to come into God's house? It's the time when it comes and it gives us uplift, it gives us encouragement to remind ourselves that we are God's family, God's people, and God's hand is still upon us, and God will lead and guide us even in these difficult days when we see so many things change around us. It was interesting on Sunday when David Campbell mentioned about reading books, and he liked to read biographies. Isn't it true that when you read biographies, when just ordinary people like you and me are facing problems and difficulties in life, when you're struggling and you pick up a book and there is someone just like you and I who's gone through difficult times, and as you read the book and they lead you into the scriptures, you see how God has been ever so gracious, how God has blessed them, how God has sustained them and kept them going. And it's a wealth of encouragement to us, isn't it, when we find that if God can uphold these people through these situations, these difficulties and these trials, it becomes a real uplift. It gives us new hope, doesn't it? It gives us a challenge. And sometimes it even brings on humility when we think, Lord, they have faced all this and you have been gracious to them. And yet look what we face. It's nothing like theirs. And Lord, we should be really thankful. Because it leads us into the scriptures, and the Bible tells us that's the place where we go to find our help and our assurance, isn't it? Timothy tells us, 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And what's it there for? It's profitable for doctrine, for our teaching, for reproof and correction. Yes, the Bible is a place where we get, well, we have correction when we read its words and we realize that we've not done what we should have done. It gives us instruction in righteousness so that we might be made perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Yes, ordinary people facing difficulties, and yet God still upholds and keeps them, doesn't he? So how can we overcome? Simply from what we've read tonight, by faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And of course, Corinthians 5:7, doesn't it, tells us that we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. So how did some of these people survive? Let's just have a quick look at some of them. What about Noah? What about Noah's situation? Well, I always say that Noah was the only man ever to launch a limited company when the rest of the world was going into liquidation. It's true, isn't it? God gave Noah so much. But what about his faith? We find in Genesis, God says to Noah, I want you to build me a boat. And that's exactly, in faith, trusting and believing his God, Noah started to build this boat. 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. It was a boat that was designed to float. It wasn't meant to sail. On today, we would say it was 450 feet by 50 feet by 45 feet, if you convert the cubits. The Mayflower, when it sailed off, was only 90 foot long. The Cutty-Sark, 212. And modern liners, 800 feet plus. They get bigger and bigger. But Noah was asked to build a boat. And he was asked to build it by the sea, by a river. No, in the middle of land. There was no river big enough to sail that boat that Noah was building. Yet he built it according to God's instructions. Here was a man of faith. They'd never seen rain until the flood came. So how was this boat? What was it for? How was it going to affect his life? I wonder what sort of reactions he got from the people around him. Did Noah become impatient? I'm sure he must have done. Did he want to give up? I'm sure he probably did want to do that on a regular basis. Was it just for a few years until the boat was finished? No. It went on and on and on. For the time it took Noah to build that boat, it was a lifetime to you and me. 100 years or thereabouts. It took for Noah to build that boat before the flood came. What a challenge to this man's faith. He was consistent. His faith was such that he completed it right to the end. There was a man of faith whose life was spent trusting in God and doing exactly what God had asked him to do. We could learn a lot from that, could we not? What about Joshua? I love the book of Joshua. Got quite a few books on Joshua. He's a practical man. Now we would say that if God asks you to do something, he gives you everything that you need to fulfill that job. Wouldn't we say that? We believe that, don't we? And when God said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I want you to take over and I want you to take the people and I want you to take them into the promised land. And God gave Joshua, what did he give him? This book of the law. God's word was all that we find God gives him. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you will have a good success. And Joshua must have wondered, because there was these well over 1 million people and all their animals, and Joshua was to get them into the promised land. And of course, the first obstacle they had was the River Jordan. Now, Joshua was there when Moses was there and they crossed the Red Sea. But here was the first obstacle they had to overcome. But you notice what happens when you read the passage. As soon as they stepped out in faith, the first foot for the priest that touched the water, and the waters parted. That was a step of faith. Is our faith like that? Do we believe that God is telling us to go forward, to trust in him? Can we say that we can step out with a step of faith? But then, when they crossed over the Jordan, here was this great, enormous city of Jericho. Now, sometimes when God asks us to do things, when we find that we're facing difficulties, we can't always understand how God deals with us. And that must have been the same situation for the Israelites there. God's ways are always better than ours. But here was this great nation. Here they were locked up in a very strong fortified city, wasn't it? Well, what does God tell them to do? He gets them to march round Jericho, doesn't he? Once each day, in silence. No one was allowed to speak. No one was allowed to share. Only your own thoughts. And there they walked round this great fortified city. Yes, it was indeed a well-fortified city. The walls were so thick that we know that they built houses on the wall because it was so thick. I wonder what went through the minds of all the Israelites as they went round Jericho. I wonder what went through the minds of all the folks looking down from the wall, wondering what in the name are they doing. Sometimes when we face difficulties, sometimes we can't understand how God's dealing with us. We don't know why we're doing what we do. But we have to have faith to trust and believe in God, to pray, to seek God's guidance. And sometimes, yes, we go through another few steps of the difficulty before God actually reveals the way forward, doesn't it? God's plans sometimes seem very difficult. And then on the seventh day, they walked round that wall seven times. Imagine the thoughts on both sides. Well, the odds were in favour of the Philistines, wasn't it? But God was in favour of Israel. And so often as we read in the Old Testament, when God was leading his people into the promised land and beyond, even in the New Testament, sometimes we wonder, what is God doing? And it's because we find in the end, when we look back, God's ways are better than ours. But we don't always see the answer. But we are called to have faith, are we not? And what about David? David, we know, he's written the Psalms. We read about David, and here is a man of faith, wasn't he? Well, David had to build his faith, didn't he? He built his faith over the years when he saw the greatness of his God. And every situation, I'm sure, that David had to face, God took him step by step, and it strengthened his faith. Here was David. And remember, the Philistines came, and the army of Israel went to battle. And David's father asked him to go and take food for his brothers, and there he was. And when he got there, here was this great giant of a man, Goliath. He was armored up to the teeth, and there he stood in front of them and challenged them to come and fight with him. And we know that the Israelites were fearful when they saw him. And there was Goliath making that challenge, and behind him he was backed with this enormous army. And Israel felt fearful. Goliath steps out. And there's David. Goliath's got his shield, his sword, his spear, his helmet, his armor. And he's backed by this great army. And David steps out. Because David had a faith even then. He knew his God. There he was with his normal clothes. His staff 5 smooth stones, his shepherd bag and a sling. Goliath was backed by the army, but David, he had the backing of his God, and that's why he stepped out. He had faith to believe that God would be with him. And what did Goliath say to him? He said, I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. But David stood there and he simply said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord my God. He had faith to stand up there and do it. And if we go into the New Testament, we think of the Apostle Paul. And we won't take time to read it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us about all the persecution, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the difficulties that he had serving his God, didn't he? He could tell us so much, and yet he had a faith. His faith was strong enough for him to face all these and keep trusting in God. Even when he was in prison, knew that any time his life could be taken, he was still writing to the churches. He longed to see the churches stand. He longed to see the people trusting in God the same as he did. And I would simply refer to you in Philippians. Philippians has got 4 chapters. And Paul wrote these, and each chapter he tells us something about the faith that he has. In chapter 1, verse 21, he says, Christ is our life. Jesus Christ was the very life that Paul wanted to live for. In chapter 2, verse 5, he says, Jesus Christ is my example. That's why I want to follow him. In chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he goes on to say, Jesus Christ is my ambition. I want to serve him. I want to trust him. And in chapter 4, verse 19, he says, and Jesus Christ is all my satisfaction. Paul sums it up there, tells us something about his wonderful faith. And in chapter 4, verse 13, I think he brings it all together when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything, his faith was built on Jesus. And therefore, in chapter 12, verse 1, what does it tell us? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Here is a challenge from all these people down through the years, and we could add to that all those in past years, even men and women today, who because of their faith stand up and stand out for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever problems we might face, whatever problems we might have come with tonight, surely we can trust and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So, as we said, let's walk by faith and not by sight. Trust in God, our Saviour, for the future. And you know, the wonderful thing about that is that we pray. Tonight we've come to pray. What a wonderful privilege we have to come boldly to the throne of grace and to share all our problems. When you go through the scriptures, one of the things I find is that God wanted to be amongst his people. He wants to come down amongst his people. The Spirit of God comes in amongst his people. They that honour me, I will honour them. He comes amongst us. And when I was reading Nehemiah, the wonderful thing about Nehemiah was he was a man of prayer. And when he gets bad news, what does he do? It tells us he wept, he mourned, he fasted and prayed. And at the beginning, he prayed for 4 solid months. He didn't tell anyone else. He didn't go rushing off saying, I've got a problem. What should I do? He took it to God in prayer. And he trusted in God before he stepped out. And God opened up the door because God honored his commitment and his faith to trust in him. How strong is our faith. To walk by faith and not by sight. I would finish off by asking, what did Jesus say? And we find what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. And he says this, I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. That's all the faith we need. And that's what Jesus himself said. I heard a pastor sharing a story, and I love to take these things because they help us to understand and add to the situations that we face. And this is a true story. There was a man in his fellowship who was going through terrible times. He'd lost his job and the family had serious problems. And he was really in despair. And the Sunday when he came, the pastor was preaching on these very words of Jesus, that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And he was talking to the pastor afterwards, and he said, that doesn't seem logical. And he said, yes, that's what Jesus said, a mustard seed. And he said, this man went out and he got himself some mustard seeds. And it's such a tiny seed. Wherever he put it in his pocket, in his jacket, he kept losing it because it was so small. And he was rubbing this all the time. If only I had faith, I can trust in Jesus. And there was a place where he could go. And he got this encapsulated into one of these little key rings. And that was his mustard seed remembrance. And over the months and weeks that followed, he was telling people about the mustard seed, and people asked him because he was always hanging on to this keyring. He became a great witness to people about faith and trust. And eventually, it strengthened him step by step. And he went on, he did prosper. And people all wanted to get copies of this mustard seed so that they too could be remembered that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. I wonder, what sort of faith do we have? Like David, he built his faith up. When we look back and we see how God has blessed us, how God provides for us, we can say, Lord, in that situation, you never failed you. You didn't forsake me. And it gives us an encouragement, doesn't it? So that when we do face other difficulties and other problems, we can look back and say, I'm going to trust in God, my Saviour, because he has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. So let us walk by faith and not by sight.